Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
The show that takes you home. The Home Stretch with Sterling Holmes on ESPN Kansas City. 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
Welcome to the Home Stretch. ESPN Kansas City, live in studio on a windy, beautiful though, Monday afternoon. Lebo's live in studio with us, Dylan behind the glass. Lebo, how are you?
It's been a long time. I'm doing great.
It's been a long time.
We did this last week.
Yeah, but that was the final day.
Oh. And then you were gone.
And then I was gone.
Yeah.
It wasn't my fault.
No.
We had things. We had NCAA basketball, which
all kinds of stuff going down.
Started off great and then ended up in disappointment. Disaster.
Well,
sadness.
It was
darkness.
You're an SEC man. The SEC
correct
has shown well, in my opinion.
Very well. So you're saying the best conference of all time, the Big 12, might be a little overblown?
Yeah, because, I mean, you shouldn't judge it all by what happens in March, but you're going to. It's just how it goes. SEC is okay. I'm sure those Kentucky fans can't believe they lost to that little kid in Marquise Noel. Bad look for Cal.
Yeah, and I'm a Calipari guy. Yeah. I think he's an entertaining guy. He seems to be mostly nice and fun and entertaining, but that was a bad look for him.
A little sour.
Yeah.
We just lost to the little kid.
With a smirk on his face, too.
And Missouri, super disappointing to lose to an Ivy League school. That's disappointing, okay? But other than that, it's been good stuff. I mean, people thought Duke was one of the hottest teams in the country. Tennessee took them down. You know, Arkansas obviously beating Kansas, monster for the league. You know, so that's some good stuff going on there. The Big 12, listen, there's no way to sugarcoat it. When you're a one seed and you don't make the Sweet 16, that's disappointing. Even though it was a one-point game and all the things that are going into it, no Bill Self there, all that stuff, that's disappointing when you don't make the Sweet 16. It's disappointing if you don't make the Elite Eight as a one seed, okay?
Sure.
But it's really disappointing to not get out of the first weekend. And that's happened to – listen, this is going to happen to Kansas more than most because Kansas is always highly ranked. You're going to lose to teams that aren't as good as you unless you just win all the games. And you don't just get to win all the games, no matter who you are every year. So that's disappointing. When Baylor was just a no-show yesterday, not good for the Big 12.
Yeah, Creighton,
Texas and K-State are carrying the torch.
K-State looks good.
Yeah.
K-State looks really good. Keontae Johnson had a really poor game offensively until that final step back three. Of course, that's the one he makes. But you see, you know, Noel just absolutely take over that game, the little guy.
Mm-hmm.
But he took over. I mean, it wasn't even a case of He looked like the game slowed down for him. It was like God Sham got out there.
Yeah, he was seeing things that the Kentucky guys weren't seeing. You know, they had the between the legs pass and the behind the back pass. Those were good. My favorite one might have been the one, the no look kind of behind his head, where Chibwe, it just went past his head, and then you see him going like, I don't even know, where is this thing? I don't know what's going on.
The lob to Tomlin before half. I mean, I will say right before half, they got all the momentum, and then they gave it right back to start the second half, and I got a little nervous. My girlfriend went to K-State, so I was a K-State supporter, and he was out of it. I'm like, all right, I'll rep the Wildcats. But it was back and forth. It was a great game. Oscar Tshiebwe, I had Kentucky beating K-State just because of him. I thought there was no chance they could stop him. They couldn't stop him, but it didn't matter. I also said they put Tshiebwe in a horrendous situation throughout that game. Why they would inbound the ball to him at half court when he can't dribble, that's not his game. When he would catch the ball at the top of the three-point line, why are you giving him the ball there instead of him posting up? Doesn't matter. K-State found a way to get it done. I mean, even Noel defensively, you're like, he's 5'9", right? He's a small guy. You should be able to post him up. He does a good job of using his body, getting in front of you, and just being pesky. You got to give a lot of credit to him because myself, small dude, when I played basketball, I was always difficult. And I'm not going up against D1 guys.
Mm-hmm.
He's 5'8", 5'9",
And he, I think he's 5'8", 5'7".
Sure, but he was legitimately playing solid defense, staying in front of his man. Sure,
he's a tough kid.
Sure, 22, got his, overall.
Kentucky's got a bunch of studs on their team, but they, and this has happened a lot with Cal. I mean, they have underperformed. They underperformed all year. They were a 6 seed.
Sure.
You know, they shouldn't be a 6 seed.
But they were getting hot at the right time. It was feeling good. And then Reeves, really, you were 0 of 14. 0 of 10 from 3.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, keep chucking it, though. So it was good for K-State. That, I mean, the league needed that. Yesterday was a big day for the league in the Big 12, and the only one that came through was K-State.
Yeah.
Baylor was disappointing. You get beat that bad. TCU was in a dogfight. Okay, that was tough. They were the underdog in that game. But what you had so far, there's two teams out of seven who made it through the week, you know, the Sweet 16. And by seed, only six should have made it, or five, because Iowa State was a 6 seed, and TCU was a 6 seed, and West Virginia was like an 8-9 game. But everyone had thought West Virginia was going to win their first game. Nothing.
Yeah.
Iowa State got drubbed by an 11 as a 6 seed.
They had 24 points with 10 minutes left to go in the game. It was brutal.
Disappointing. Kansas, of course, lost to an 8 seed. Then Baylor ends up losing. So the only one who lost to who they should have lost to was TCU last night.
Yeah.
So that's disappointing for the league. It is. I mean, you look up in the Big East best team, Marquette, didn't make it through. But
UConn.
Xavier's there, UConn's there, Creighton's there. So they've done some good stuff. I got Big Ten friends who think the Big Ten's a joke. But Sparty, you know, got
Tom
it done.
Izzo,
it,
he come
just does
March.
What he does.
He's the opposite of Calipari. Tom Izzo in Kentucky, they're different.
Yeah, and you know, once again though, this is a good spot for K-State. Michigan State's a 7 seed.
Yeah.
You're in the Sweet 16 and you get to play someone who is a worse seed than you, then that means you should advance. And now they're underdogs by like a point. They're the only higher seeded team that's an underdog, I think, in this round. At this morning at least, it maybe could have changed by now, but this is a big opportunity for K-State. And you look up in the top of the bracket, who's up there? Is the 1 seed there? No, they're gone.
Yeah.
Now, Tennessee's there, and they're a hot team, but they're a 5 seed. But that's not –
I will say this about Tennessee. I can't stand watching them play. My bracket name was Vols are overrated. They should have lost to Louisiana. They held on. Mm-hmm. Give them credit. They beat Duke, and there was some stifling defense. But I don't understand how when teams play Tennessee, the offense forgets how to shoot the ball. I'm not saying Tennessee doesn't play good defense, because they do. But – teams will get wide open shots against them, and
think,
then just
I think what happens
brick
a lot of times
it's
on
incredible.
Those is they work so hard to get the wide open shot. They're
sure.
just not like
your legs yes. are. I get it, but
I agree with you.
And I hate watching their games because it's like watching Virginia. And that's why I had Furman beating Virginia. These teams typically, in my opinion, don't do well in March because if you can only score 55, 60 points, if a team gets hot, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no team's gotten hot, and now they're playing a 9 seed in FAU.
Yep.
Give them credit. They're finding ways to get it done in a typically, in my mind, unconventional March way.
When you look at this, K-State is a 3 seed. They're the best seed left in the East.
Yeah.
So you should go win those two games and go to the Final Four. Easier said than done. It's hard to do this, right? Because only 4 teams get to go, and upsets happen, and the wrong team gets hot or whatever. But K-State's playing well. They got to take it to New York City. They got to get past this first one. Because you can't play the second one without the first one. Don't be thinking about, oh, we got to get ready for, you know, Florida Atlantic. You got to win this first one.
I will say Noel versus Ziegler would have been an incredible matchup. Those two guys, but it was obviously, we don't know if they're going to make it, and Ziegler being out with his knee, that would have been a fun one.
The Michigan State point guard is some New York City kid, too. So this
it's in Manhattan.
Yeah. So it's going to be fun, man.
That'll be a good one.
It's going to be fun. That'll be cool. We'll have all those games for you, of course, on our family of stations here, Westwood One, beginning at 5:30 on Thursday.
With Kansas losing to Arkansas, I know a lot of my KU fans thought going in before they knew Bill Self was going to be out, right? Because I think Bill Self being out, that could have played a difference.
There's no question it plays a difference. If it doesn't, then why is he your coach?
Also, do we run a layup play when we need a three-pointer?
Yeah.
Well, they had a choice on that, and they had time. It just took a little long. You know, there's no way to properly do the end of the game, but that's where you miss Bill Self.
Yeah.
That's where you miss, and I think Bill Self gets calls because he's Bill Self.
And sure.
That and a referee would never say that.
Did not get calls.
They didn't get calls. I'm glad they didn't call a charge on the play where McCullough fouled out. That's not a charge. I saw some horrible ones. There was a bad one in the Duke game.
Duke had a couple. Mizzou had a couple.
I don't like the way they call that. Now, you can't just be running.
Sure.
And you're not set. I don't like the new way they call it. But even on the new way, that's not a 50-50 call on McCullough.
No.
That's 70-30 at best.
He's sliding as he's already. College basketball has a massive offensive foul problem. I tweeted it 3 or 4 times during the slate of games, the Duke game, the Missouri game. It's out of control. Mm-hmm. You can't drive. It takes you completely out of your game. You throw your body in front of a guy that defensively, you just flop.
Yeah.
If you fall on the ground, the ref just gets a power trip. He wants to make the motion. He wants to make the charge motion. It must be fun for them to do. They must practice it in the mirror. let's practice what I've been working on. Let's show it off. But there's a serious issue in college basketball. But, again, that was not one. The McCullers one was not.
It wasn't. And here's the deal. I mean, you know, Kansas didn't make the plays, like you said at the end. They probably should have tried to take a three. But there was time to extend the game, and maybe Arkansas is going to miss a free throw. In the end, it turned out, I don't think Arkansas was trying to foul with 3 seconds to go. But in my mind, that is the smart thing to do.
It was the right move.
It's the right move. I've always been a foul up three, unless you're playing like the worst team in the world who can't make a three-pointer.
Sure.
You foul up three because with 3 seconds to go, they had no choice but to make and then miss. And then Jalen Wilson did the wrong thing. The way he tried to miss it, that's not the way you should try to miss it. You need to
off the front rim.
I think the best play is to arc it higher. I mean, really high.
You're a high guy. See, I'm off the.
I think the guys
Luka Doncic did. You know what Luka did?
The guys in the front rim, they miss it sometimes, and they hit the backboard, and then there's nothing.
You got to practice it. I will say this though, I'm with you with the foul. It makes sense, but I'm typically a fan. It was the right play, obviously, because it worked out for Arkansas. I like letting them play because you can't lose that way. I don't like putting it to where you can lose the game.
What are the chances you can lose? Give me a percentage chance you can lose
the game. Let's say
you're up three. There's 3 seconds to go, and you foul them. What are the chances you're going to lose the game?
Let's say 4%.
Less.
3%.
Less.
The point is,
you're telling me they're going to make the first one, and they're going to be able to miss the second one and shoot a three to beat you?
We have seen it.
How many times?
This year.
Who?
Luka Doncic.
No. I'm talking about the college basketball.
College, I'm not sure.
Okay. Luka Doncic ain't running through this gym.
I get it.
To beat you.
I get it. But I'm saying we've seen it before more often than a four-point play happening in that situation.
The worst four-point play of the weekend was the stupid Texas game where they had the game covered.
Yeah.
And the kid misses the front end run one-on-one. And then they go down there and they foul a guy. And they don't cover.
What about Gonzaga?
I was about
what
to about just bring that up.
The Zags game,
TCU making money. Or stealing money. Whatever.
Well, and the foul with like 4 seconds left, he makes the free throw. That was just nuts.
When they started letting him walk up the court, I saw it happening.
Yeah. It's why you don't bet.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to go run up to him and make him pick the ball up. But
well,
you know what?
If you have Gonzaga.
The Gonzaga guys didn't know the spread.
Well, that's how you know if they're betting, they're betting on TCU, not like Pete Rose.
And then the Missouri game. I'm not mad they lost because you take it out of it and you say before the season starts, you win one game in the NCAA tournament. Would you take it? Yes. But you're probably never going to get a chance to play. You won't get a chance.
To play a 15.
To play a 15 seed to go to the Sweet 16. And I know folks are trying to say, well, you know, it was a great year. It's a good building block season. I'm with you, but some guys are going to be gone. You think Kobe Brown's coming back? Probably not.
No.
You're losing some of your main talented players. You're missing some of your main pieces. There's no excuses. And Dennis Gates got out-coached. He was a great coach all season long, and for some reason he decided to run a zone against a three-point shooting team. You're telling me the Ivy League can't figure out, using the Pythagorean theorem, how to beat a zone? I mean, are you serious right now?
Wasn't good.
It was horrendous. Like, what was the game plan you did so well against Utah State? Utah State and Princeton, you think, would be very similar. Both are teams that like to shoot the three, right?
Yep.
Why not run the same game plan? It wasn't like Princeton was driving by you every step of the way. Now, they were past Noah Carter. Noah Carter couldn't stay in front of anyone. But besides him, who else was getting blown by? You think Demoy Hodge is getting blown by Kobe Brown?
No.
I don't understand this thought process of let's run a zone against a three-point shooting team. three-point shooting teams love that. And Princeton didn't shoot lights out. I know some Mizzou fans are trying to say, well, Princeton shot lights out. They didn't. They were getting wide-open looks left and right. If you don't make a wide-open three, you shouldn't be playing college basketball. I just don't understand this. It was a good year that puts a huge cloud of disappointment over it because of that game.
Yeah.
When you get out,
because when you say
out
like,
hustled,
when you say it like you
outplayed.
Said it, you're picked 10th in the league, you get a double bye, you win a game, and you make it to Saturday for the first time in the history of your basketball program, the SEC tournament, and then you win a game, that's good. I mean, I was satisfied. That was my thing last week. If Missouri needs to validate the season by winning a game. And listen, 10-7 games are crazy, but you're playing Utah State. You have to win that game, mm-hmm. okay? And they did that, and it was impressive. But if you put it in a vacuum and you say you're playing an Ivy League team to go to the Sweet 16 and you're a 7 and they're a 15, you're super disappointed. Not that you lost, but that you were not competitive.
Guess what Princeton was from 3?
It was 12 of 20-something. Is that right?
Guess, Dylan. You have a guess?
I was going to say, yeah, like 10 of 25, 10, something like that.
12 of 33.
33.
They shot 36% from 3. So it's not like they were out there just shooting 50%. Oh, they're unconscious. Like, people want to make
you
believe they were.
They shoot 33 of them.
They were wide open. All how many were open? 25?
Lots.
I mean, seriously, 25. It wasn't like they were forcing threes up.
And Missouri did such a nice job against Utah State, who everyone told us
they
was
had
a great
three wide open
team.
Threes. Yeah. Three. And guess what? Two of them were off of, one was off offensive rebound and one was off a steal.
Yeah.
They had three the entire game. Against Prince, they may have had 25. I lost count.
Yeah, it's too many. It's too many. So that's disappointing. But in the end, look at the thing as a whole. You don't look at the game. You have to. Otherwise, you drive yourself crazy. You know, for the longest time, I think there's been 11 or 12 15s beat 2s now. For the most part, they lose. But it's getting more common to see them advance a little bit now. I think Oral Roberts at St. Peter's last year, yeah. Oral Roberts, he'd done more than just win once. It used to be you won it, it was over, and you get your butt beat by somebody.
Sure.
And now you're like, wow, this is three in the last 4 years where a 15 has made the Sweet 16.
And you also have FDU who beat Purdue. I mean, mm-hmm. that's also an outlier, but let's just say – there's never been a, you know, 16 beating a 1, and in the past 5 years there's been two
twice,
now.
Yeah.
So what's happened is, in my opinion, the back-end players, the back-end teams have gotten a lot better. The three-point line is really even the playing field. I think that's been the biggest difference.
There's really good coaching everywhere. These guys are – and honestly, right now, in 2023, with the pandemic years and the ability to stay in school, get an extra year, you've got some guys – who are
23, 24
years old. I mean, they just are. I told them, Dylan, in the hallway, Luka Doncic is younger than Desi Sills, who plays for K-State.
Yeah.
K-State starting lineup, and this is true if you go look at these smaller schools, too. You guys are just like, well, I don't know, I'll go get a job, or I just want to go play college basketball some more. You know what's more fun than getting a job? Playing college basketball. Even if you're at a small school, man, let's stick around. Let's go to March Madness and let's go, you know, get a chance to get a trip and win a game and do all that stuff. But K-State's guys, they're all 22 plus. Like, they're all their top scorers except for the Carter kid who he's almost 20. He's a like a true, like actual sophomore. The rest of them are all 22, 23, one of them 24 years old. It's wild. So these are some guys. Like, you like to play your pickup basketball.
Sure.
There's a difference between
Saturday morning.
There's a difference between some 23-year-old guys who played a lot of ball and an 18-year-old kid who just played high school basketball.
Yeah, you just get out. It's way different.
It's way different. And you got some teams all through the divisions of basketball, mostly in the not elite, because the elite teams, they just continue to turn them through and get,
sure,
you know, kids.
More parity almost.
Yeah, you get more freshmen and stuff like that in there. But these other schools are like, you know, come on, NIL, transfer portal, COVID year, keep playing basketball.
What's interesting, too, is if you watch or if you've noticed, this has been really really loud to me, I guess. All these announcers are saying, this guy who came from this school, this guy who came from this school and then from this school. Like, you're looking at Miami game, Nigel Pack coming from K-State. Just you go down the list. That was the first thing that came to mind. Keontae Johnson from Florida.
Almost everyone on Missouri.
Marcus Noel.
Went from somewhere else.
You're looking at all these dudes.
All of them.
Yeah.
Went somewhere else for the most part. It's just what it is. That's basketball today. With the 1 year where you could just transfer, you could. It's just a different world. Even Kansas, like Kansas last year, Remy Martin was a transfer and he helped them win a title. This year, Kevin McCullough was there. Schools like that, it's like, nah, we don't take transfers. We don't do that. But taking Oscar Tshiebwe, the player of the year, went to West Virginia for a couple years. Now, he didn't transfer just to keep playing basketball. He was done with hugs, whatever. He needed to change the scenery. And he doesn't really have a future really in the NBA. So
his body type.
He doesn't shoot threes.
His style of play.
Yeah, his style of play would have been great 20 years ago in the NBA, but it's not. It's not great now. So why wouldn't you just stay in college and keep playing? Like that Zach Edey guy, he doesn't have a spot in the NBA for real, really?
No, because I was actually...
How many threes did he shot this year?
I was finding the correlation. It used to be, if you're 7'5", and you had some skills like he does, it's automatic. But the year that it was really transparent, remember when Jahlil Okafor from Duke, and he was a top three draft pick, you know, he was incredible in college. I mean, but he couldn't shoot. He was a back-to-the-basket player. He might still be floating around as a backup somewhere, but he went from a bona fide top five draft pick to basically out of the league in a span of 3 years because he was there when I was in Philly. And that's how quick the game changes. It used to be a case of that was the style of play you would look for. The game's evolved. If you can't handle the ball,
how many three-pointers does Joel Embiid shoot a game?
Oh, probably five a game.
Yeah.
Easy.
And Zach Edey hasn't shot five in his career in college.
And if you can't guard...
Same thing with Tshiebwe. Tshiebwe actually made one yesterday. I think it was his first make of his college career.
Did you see Drew Timmy hit his third of the year? Or maybe it was his third attempt of the year, whatever it was. And it was that step back one.
Right.
And you're just sitting here like, this is the one you make? This is the one you take?
Because, you know, he's a really good player, but there's probably not a spot for him to be a star in the NBA. Maybe he'll earn a little money
for
a couple years.
He seems more of a NBA player than Oscar Tshiebwe. Just based on, even though the body types are obviously different, the fact that he can handle the ball.
He handles the ball much better.
And that's the big difference.
But the world's changed. So, yeah, you're right. You get some of these guys and they stick around. And that's great for college, but, you know, that's one of the weird things about Tshiebwe and Cal. I mean, he's basically what Cal has done has been a minor league for professional basketball because the league is littered with Wildcats.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere.
I'm not
sure there's too many teams that don't have a Cal player on their team.
Yeah.
Really.
Seriously. I wonder how many – that'd be a fun study. How many teams have a player from Kentucky or Cal?
Yeah.
If Derrick Rose is still playing, then you have Memphis.
Yeah. Absolutely. Is Chris Douglas Roberts out there kicking around somewhere? CDR? But he normally has just basically sacrificed probably making real teams and winning to have these guys and develop them to go play at the next level. And Tshiebwe is a different one because he doesn't really fit the bill.
Before we take a break, I want to bring up Gonzaga because they said on air that was the eighth straight Sweet 16. Eighth straight Sweet 16 for Gonzaga, excluding the COVID year of 20, when there was no tournament, right? So I think it was from 2014 until now.
Yeah.
How impressive is that? I know they haven't had a whole bunch of championships.
They haven't won it, and, you know, they got to one title. They made some Final Fours, and they got the one title game, and Baylor beat their brakes off of them. Because the Big 12 is the best league in basketball. But it is – there's something to be said for winning the first couple of games and not getting really upset. And it's an amazing program, what they've done out there. Now, they generally, like you said, they haven't won a title.
Mm-hmm.
And they've only made one title game. I think they've made two Final Fours, maybe.
Two Final Fours, two runners-up, 2017 and 21.
Yeah. So they haven't cut the nets down. But it's amazing that they haven't. You know,
the consistency to me.
Well, because Mark Few has stayed there. Like Butler had something really special going when, you know, Brad Stevens was there, but he left.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, now Butler's been okay here and there. They win a game or something. But if Brad Stevens just stayed at Butler, he's such a good coach and would be able to recruit NBA players because that's what Gonzaga has. They have NBA players on their team every year.
Jalen Suggs, Chet Holmgren. They've had a few. They haven't had a ton.
But every year they got a guy. And, you know, I don't think a year's gone by where there's just some dudes. They got guys. And they're recruiting at a higher level now because when they finally made the Final Four. But they haven't been upset, you know. Like 8 years of the Sweet 16, like listen, Kansas is a better basketball program than Gonzaga, yeah. but they haven't made the Sweet 16 8 years in a row.
Yeah.
They've been one seed and lost twice in the last 8 years, but they've made three Final Fours in 8 years, right? And they've won a championship in the last 8 years. So that
yeah.
you'd rather have that than making the Sweet 16 every year. Now, maybe on Saturday afternoon, some Kansas fans would have been, man, I sure wish we made the Sweet 16. But then they look at the banner and they saw they won last year yeah. and all that.
Well, I got that. So a lot of my friends are KU fans, KU alums, right? They didn't seem – I mean, they were upset, obviously, but they weren't angry. Dylan, yet you're back there because you guys won last year.
Yeah, the shine is still on the trophy, man.
The yep. shine's still there.
Our coach wasn't there.
Your coach wasn't there. And everyone who I talked to who was a KU alum or fan going into this March Madness was basically saying, you know what? Arkansas is not a good matchup for our team. It was hilarious. The amount of people that I saw who went to KU that said, the one team I'm scared about is Arkansas.
The weird thing, you know, like I think probably – the banner is good for five years, probably, of like, man, it's okay, right?
Sure.
5 or 6 years. And then, you know, like for Kansas, it's been pretty good. They won it in 08, which they needed that because it had been 20 years. And the first 4 years of Bill Self, there was Bucknell and Bradley. It was like, that was kind of like whatever. Yeah. So they won it, right? And then, you know, 4 years later, they go back. And then they went back again in 18, right? So that was like 6 years later. And
sure.
Didn't win it, whatever.
Was that the Kentucky? No, when was the Kentucky
Kentucky
one?
Was 12. And then they went
that
in
was
18. And 18, that was bad because how bad they got beat by Villanova.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you still went. You know, you're there.
Sure.
And then, you know, go back about 4 years later. And you're down 15 at half, but you come back and you win the game. So now you're good for a while.
Well, it was kind of like Royals. When did that shine wear off? 2015. It was about 2020.
Probably about 5 years.
About 5 years.
Yeah. In basketball, it's probably about 5 years of winning it. Because, I mean, these Kentucky fans, they're done with Cal at this point, right? And because they haven't won it.
Yeah.
And they haven't been to the Final Four in a bit either. And they're coming up 60. They missed a tournament, I think, once, too.
Yes, they did.
Kansas never missed a tournament. They're never a crappy seed.
Well, Kentucky does this every year, though. They start off horrendous, and then by the time March comes around, they typically are, at least in recent memory, they're a lower seed than you expect. They're coming out hot, and they typically win a couple games in the tournament, right?
I saw this graphic today, I think. Kentucky, North Carolina, Duke, Kansas. Big four blue bloods, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the first 45 years of having what they call the Sweet 16, which goes back to before 86. They kind of started calling that when the field went to 64 and 86, whatever. It was 45 years of it. There were only 3 years where all four of those teams weren't in the Sweet 16. And now, and I think it's the last 5 years, it's been three times that all four of those teams weren't in the Sweet 16. That's pretty amazing. So that says something about what we've been talking about, the more competitive balance,
mm-hmm.
players just leaving. Like, if you're not happy somewhere, I mean, there are players who have left Duke or
sure.
Kentucky or Carolina and said, I got to go play somewhere else. And, you know, just different things back and forth. So, you know, it's just much more competitive now. And I think NIL in basketball can be a bigger equalizer than it can in football, because in basketball, you don't need 15 studs
yeah.
to compete. You can't go compete in football without 15 players.
You can have two in basketball for the most part.
Maybe one.
Yeah.
Two is for real. I mean, you could be
like
a legitimate Final Four contender with two studs.
K-State's Keontae Johnson and Noel.
Yeah.
KU this year was basically the two studs were Grady Dick and Jalen Wilson, at least offensively, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of these programs have two guys that you point to and say, yeah, these are our two guys. Mizzou had Kobe Brown and maybe Demoy Hodge was the second guy, but
On some nights. And either those guys are probably not
they're the same level.
They're not going to be NBA stars or anything. So you can kind of really compete in college basketball with just a couple players.
Yeah.
But here's the deal with the tournament. The tournament's crapshoot. The best team in college basketball almost never wins the tournament. They just don't.
Was last year with KU? Was it one of the first times or the few times?
Yeah, it's probably, and they were probably the best team, but they were still probably should have lost the title game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I pulled this up.
Kansas has been the best team in college basketball since, I mean, they were nowhere near the best team in 1988 when they won it all.
Yeah.
They were like the fifth best team in their league. They were not the best team, but they won it. Since that time, I'll bet Kansas has been the best team in the field at least five or six times. And maybe when they won last year, they were. The 08 team probably wasn't the best team. They were close.
Kentucky wasn't 12 with Anthony Davis.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anthony Davis was just unreal.
But like Kansas in 2010, they were overall number one seed, lost to Sweet 16. I mean, Gonzaga 2 years ago, they were the best team, man. They had NBA players, all this stuff.
Yeah.
They go to the final game, they get their butts beat. I mean, it happens.
Baylor also had a very good team that year, too. Those were the two best teams all season long, and they met. That was also very rare, having the two best teams meet. Because that's very rare
You're going to see.
If ever.
The one time that all four number ones made the Final Four was 08. That was a great. I mean, Kansas was obviously very good. Memphis was great. And that was Carolina was great. And it was the other one. There was someone else in there. They're all ones. Was it UConn or somebody? Anyway, but they just don't. You don't do that. You don't make it. The one seeds lose. It happens all the time. We're sitting here. It's Sweet 16 time. We've got two number one seeds out.
Yeah.
Gone.
All four of the Final Four teams from last year didn't make it to the Sweet 16. All four were out. UNC obviously didn't make the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was really impressive showing the current parity, the current state of college basketball. I think it's a really good spot. Again, you mentioned NIL. It's better for college basketball. We're getting more even matchups, even teams. Football, I think it's a different story. I think you're still going to see Georgia, Alabama, the consistent blue bloods in football. They're going to be those guys.
Yeah.
People want to play there. College basketball, we're seeing a whole different story.
You want to invest in your team, it's easier to go, I'm not saying buy a championship, but it's easier to go buy a couple of players than trying to buy, I need five offensive linemen, I need a stud quarterback, we better have a D-end.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just a lot more work than give me a point guard
and a
forward. Swing,
yeah.
You know? Different thing.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break. Come back. Home stretch here. ESPN, Kansas City. Welcome back to the home stretch, ESPN Kansas City. Before we talk NFL, I did it. I found it.
What'd you find?
As a left-handed golfer, you have no idea how hard it is to find certain things.
What'd you need?
52-degree Callaway Jaws wedge.
Yeah.
Not this year's iteration, because if you think I'm spending that much money, you're asinine. You're out of your gourd.
Did you get yourself an 88?
No, I got it. It's last year's iteration. I wanted to get the same one that fits my bag. I already had the 56. I already had the 60.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have the same one so I know the distance, the same feel.
What are you hitting near 52?
About 115, 120, right?
Yeah.
So it's tough distance. You get that distance a lot when you're playing golf, right?
Right.
I'm trying to choke down on a pitching wedge. Good luck.
Mm.
You can't do that.
No, not someone at your skill level can.
A twofold question. Yeah, my skill level, I can't do that. You're correct. Not the fact that it would end up poorly. It's because it would
end poorly.
So what
do you carry in your bag? What's your highest iron?
Four iron. Yeah, I love my four.
No three irons anymore in the bags, huh?
Well, that's the thing, is I'm considering trying to get a driving iron, like a one iron.
Right.
And replace my three wood.
Good luck finding that.
Well, yeah, as a lefty, you know how many places I've called?
Seven.
Probably about four. I don't need one that bad, but I would love one.
Yeah.
And I want it steel, too. I don't want graphite.
No.
I don't want that. I want steel.
Why don't you just make one of those?
You think just really tune one down?
Yeah. You could do that.
You think I'm smart enough for that?
Sure.
Those Princeton fellas that beat my Missouri Tigers could do it.
Hey, you know what I did yesterday?
They can beat a zone, too.
I'm going to blow your mind what I did yesterday. You're going to go play golf today, right?
Yeah, after this.
I mowed yesterday.
Wow.
Huh?
Yeah, that's...
First mow of the year. It was a little chilly, had a long sleeve shirt on, but it was sunny, and the rains are coming.
Oh, yeah, they are.
I'm working today, so I don't know when I'll get home in time. And my yard, it's been fertilized. It's
sure.
Been, you know, all the stuff.
Same here. You got to get there early.
And we got some pretty decent rain over the past couple of weeks, and it had sprouted up and had grown. So I went out there and put a little buzz on that front yard. I didn't do the back. It's to the front.
Yeah, you don't get to the back. Only you can see the back.
Well, it has. I don't get as much sun on the back, so it's not sprouted up as much. My backyard is shaded by my house for the morning sun. In the afternoon sun, there's some trees and everything. So my front yard gets a lot of really good morning sun. So it grows. But I put the mow on that thing before spring. It was still winter.
Today's the first day of spring, right?
Yeah, today or tomorrow something.
That was the most dad thing you've ever done.
Oh, I did it.
You mowed it. You're proud of mowing.
And then my daughter came over. She had. She's in Columbia right now. She's got a.
I feel sorry for her.
She has a class, a master's class that's online. But for 1 week, they have to go to Columbia. So she came over yesterday, and I was like, "What do you think of the yard?" She goes. I said, I mowed it. She goes, oh, yeah, it looks okay.
Well, like, she had a hard pose. She was thinking of hard pose yesterday. So yeah, but she was thinking about the fun she had at Harpo's.
She just drove down there yesterday. There was no Harpo's. My wife has given her specific instructions.
To go to 10 Below.
No, to go to Trops.
Oh, you got to go to Trops.
So last year, my daughter.
Dylan, you been to Trops? He doesn't know.
So last year, my daughter did the same thing. It's a 2 years master's program. She does the whole thing online, but for a week, you have to go down there and work these projects with everyone in person, right? So last year, she went down there, and my wife said, "We got to go to Trops. Go to Tropical Liqueurs. You get a, like it's a like a like a like a icy with booze in it. Okay,
a frozen." Delicious
and you
cocktail.
And you can apparently just walk around the world with them.
You're not supposed to, but what you do is the key here, Dylan.
There's nothing that says alcoholic.
So what you do is, but the cops know about the red straw.
Yeah.
The cops know about the red straw, so you know it's Trops. What you got to do is have a stash, what we did in college, a stash
of striped straws.
Of different straws. They could be clear. They could be any other color, but they can't be red.
Yeah, because they know you're causing.
They know it's Trops, yeah.
You're causing things. So last year, my wife told her, said, you got to go to Trops. You know, there's group projects and things. She never went. She just did her homework stuff and sat there and read books in her room. And so my wife said, basically, you're in real trouble if you don't send me a picture at Trops. Or at least go get one and take it back to the hotel, yeah. Something.
Don't get silver bullet, though, because if you do, you're going to have a bad night.
Too much.
It's too much.
We were down there for homecoming. I had something. It wasn't Silver Bullet. It's something that was red.
Sure.
I don't know what it was called.
They're all
good.
Was
it Cherry Bomb or
something?
Yeah,
Cherry Bomb's a good one.
Yeah. Anyway.
Tiger Paw. Yeah.
That's a yellow thing, isn't it?
They're good.
Yeah.
They're good.
They have multiple locations there now.
They do. They have two.
There's one out south. That's where we picked them up to go.
Yeah, I think they've had.
We walked around Hoco. Walked around Hoco.
Oh, yeah. We ran into each other.
You never saw me.
No.
You wouldn't do it. We were
you were kind of ducking me. I had a feeling that you were ducking me.
We were out, bud. We were out till like 9, 10.
We were out too, but I just felt like you,
it's pretty late for me.
You wanted nothing to do with me.
We're checking the house decks out. Went to the Heidelberg.
Oh, you see, you're fancy. You went to the Berg.
Yeah, we're too fancy for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. But yeah, I was an old man dad, got that yard cut. And, you know, once you start it, you're activated. It's gonna rain this week. I'll be cutting again this weekend.
See, that's the key. Once you start, you can't stop. It's like when you've been drinking a long time and you got to pee, but you don't want to pee. Because
no,
if you do,
I have broken the seal on this lawn.
You've broken the seal in the yard.
It's going to be going. It'll be mow time. But I'm fine with it. I like to mow.
So I want to talk a little NFL because Brandon Cooks was now going to the Cowboys.
He's going to end up playing for all the teams except the Chiefs.
Yeah, he's going to try and go all 30. He's 31. He's trying.
Everyone but the Chiefs. I remember, I'm old enough to remember when Brandon Cooks was someone that they wanted to draft. What year was that? He went early. Was that what year?
I'm looking it up. He was drafted in 2014. He's 29 years old. He's relatively young for.
Who did the Chiefs draft in 14? Because there was a big run on wide receivers in that draft.
Post John Baldwin.
It was post John Baldwin. But it was like all these wide receivers, and they just kept going. We were here on draft night working. And it was like, oh, how about this guy? And they just kept falling off.
Sure.
The Chiefs drafted pretty late that year because they'd gone to the playoffs in 13, right? Went 11-5 or whatever.
Because Eric Fisher.
Yeah.
Brandon Cooks, by the way, has 6 1,000-yard receiving seasons.
Why has he not
in
been
his
able
career?
To get a deal and stay somewhere?
He's made some decent money. It's not like he's not made money. But it feels like every team he's gone to, it's a couple-year stint. Then he's gone 3 years in New Orleans, 1 year in New England, 2 with the Rams, 3 with Houston.
Chiefs drafted D. Ford.
Hey, well, D. Ford had some success.
Johnny Manziel went right before D. Ford. That was the deal. It was Sammy Watkins went, Mike Evans went, Odell Beckham wants to be a Chief went, and then Brandon Cooks went, and then the wide receivers. They didn't take Kelvin Benjamin, which although he was a Chief for a minute.
For a minute. Point. He was a tight end for a minute on the Chiefs.
He got fat. Marquise Lee, who was just meh, he went after that. Jordan Matthews, eh. Paul Richardson, speedster.
Jordan Matthews had a couple years.
There was this guy in the second round named Devant Adams. He turned out to be okay. Allen Robinson, Jarvis Landry, a lot of guys in that draft in the first two rounds. But, yeah, but the Chiefs took D. Ford.
What do you think the Chiefs' plan is at wide receiver? Brandon Cooks off the market, traded for a fifth and a sixth. Odell Beckham Jr. obviously is still there.
Right? But, I'm not a fan of Odell Beckham Jr. I don't think he's a good personality. I don't think he's a great fit for what the Chiefs' locker room is about. But the Chiefs' locker room can get guys to fit. So, listen, here's what I said. I don't want him on this team. But if Patrick Mahomes wants him on this team, then I'm okay with it.
Can I give you a little pushback on the personality aspect of Odell Beckham Jr.? Because he's always been labeled as almost a malcontent. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, in my opinion, it's been slightly unfair. Now, I full transparency, I'm a huge fan of his. I've always liked his game. But when he was with the Giants, right, an issue was he wanted to win, and he was so sick and tired of being around a losing organization. A lot of it, to me, came off as passion. Because when he went to the Rams, and he was on a winning organization, on a winning team, what happened? Did you ever hear a peep from him?
No.
You never did. I think he's a guy who truly cares about winning. Does he go about...
Well, now, because he already got paid.
But do I think he goes about it sometimes in a bad way? Yes, he does. But I do think he's a guy who, if he's on a winning team, he doesn't have to be force-fed targets and force-fed the ball. When he was behind Cooper Kupp on the depth chart, was he the guy complaining, saying, I want the ball, I want the ball? No. He sat back and understood that winning took precedent over him getting the ball.
And he was barely a Ram, though. I mean,
sure.
He was only like half the year.
But he made an impact on that team. I think
the bigger
same
concern,
thing could be
I mean, listen, if they're going to sign him for some cheap-ass thing, which they could, because he has no leverage to get a multi-year deal.
Well, frankly, because they thought they were going to sign him last year at the end of the year, and they never did.
He has he played 2 games in 17, or 4 games in 17. He played 7 games in 20. And the year he got traded, he played 14 games between two teams. But he played none games last year. This is not someone who you're going to give a multi-year deal to. But if they want to give him some sort of juju deal, I don't like his attitude and how he goes about it. But I do think if the Chiefs are a place where you will be a better person, because the Chiefs, that's what you do. Tyreek Hill was a better person when he was with the Chiefs. He wasn't doing podcasts and sending silly tweets and doing stuff because that was the expectation. The second he left, he's out doing podcasts and stuff like that. So would Odell Beckham be a better soldier in Kansas City? Yes, I think he would be. But I don't know what he's got right now either.
Sure.
He's coming off a major knee construction, and no one signed him last year.
Well, that's what's in the end of last year. It was talked about Thanksgiving, then Christmas, and then the final stretch run, and nothing happened.
He got hurt that February.
In the Super Bowl,
yeah. So now he's a year off of it. So, you know, I think that's better. But this guy has not had like a – He hasn't had a legit season in the last 3 years because he's been hurt. He's a 1,000-yard guy in Cleveland. He's never been productive scoring touchdowns since his first few years with the Giants when they were just putting up numbers and not winning games. He has not been a real part of winning. He won a Super Bowl.
And he made an impact in the game.
He made an impact in the game, but he was not – I don't think the Rams would tell you that they were all about Odell Beckham. He was a piece that came in late. And if he's here, he's just a piece. So that's fine.
Well,
maybe he is at this point in his life someone who will be more satisfied with being the fifth most famous guy on the team or something. I don't know. But.
Well, he'd be the second or third option. He's obviously going to be behind Travis Kelce, and the Chiefs team spreads the ball around. I'm not saying he comes in and he's prime Odell Beckham Jr. I'm saying if he's healthy enough, I think his talent is still enough.
Well, this is a dude who's already made a lot of money.
Yeah.
He got a big, fat deal with the Giants, right? A big, fat deal. that was worthless because it was after he was already good.
Yeah.
And they got nothing for it. Whatever.
What do you think the Chiefs' plan, though, is with Adam Thielen, who was obviously a hot target, hot commodity, going to the Panthers, signing what looks to be a 3-year deal, which is more than you would think for a 32-year-old. There's not a lot of guys left on the market. DeAndre Hopkins is the name being floated around as a potential trade candidate.
I don't want him on the team. These are 30-year-old guys, and I don't know what Hopkins is all about right now in his career. But you have to give something up to get him, and you have to
double down.
You have to redo his contract into something. You can't do that into 1-year thing because he's got 2 years left. His cap numbers are monstrous, right? $30 million or something this year. You know, to me, it sounds like Beckham's a more sensible draft or type of person to get.
Would our draft capital be better spent trying to get up if Jaxon Smith-Njigba drops into the late teens, you think? Like, I think that would be a better idea than Odell Beckham Jr., in my opinion, because it's cheaper.
We've talked about this a lot. Is the wide receiver position turning into the running back position in the National Football League?
This is what I've been talking about for a while, and I said yes. And we started to see the decline in the market this year. I thought it was going to take 2 to 3 years. It's been this year. You think Alan Lazard going into this year was going to sign that? Did you think Juju Smith-Schuster was going to sign that? Jacoby Myers got a decent deal for one fine year of him. But the wide receiver market has been tampered down. We haven't seen elite wide receivers this year hit the open market, right?
Right.
But that above average to good wide receivers, they're not making the money that they were last year. These guys are equivalent to Christian Kirk. They're not getting Christian Kirk money.
So, but same thing in the draft as well. So where do you need to get the best wide receiver in the draft?
Top 5, top 10 was the general thinking, but I don't think you have to anymore.
Yeah, so I'm looking at DeAndre Hopkins' draft, okay? The first wide receiver taken in that draft, we're going back to 2013, so it's 10 years ago. Tavon Austin, okay?
Special teamer.
All right. And then DeAndre Hopkins was the second one taken. It was a weird draft, but he was the 27th pick of the draft.
Sure.
Okay. We just talked about DeAndre Hopkins.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Davante Adams. What number was he? 50-something in the second round. DK Metcalf is a star, right?
Second round
pick. Tyreek Hill for other reasons, but he was a fifth-round pick. Now, he wasn't going to be a first-round pick either way.
Probably second or third.
Yeah. I mean, the guy was 5'8" or whatever. He wasn't going to be that. So then that we already went through the draft there in 14. It was a very high group of wide receivers with Mike Evans and
Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson. And Odell Beckham Jr. was high.
But every year you can find a wide receiver. Some of the best wide receivers, we just went through them. DeAndre Hopkins, Davante Adams, Tyreek Hill. Who's the next best wide receiver in the league? Who are they? Tell me who's the guy who's going to – where was Cooper Kupp drafted?
Good point.
Right? So I don't know.
CeeDee Lamb's very solid. Where was he drafted?
He was teens, I think. I don't think he was a top 10 draft pick. Marquise Brown was, I think, a top 10 draft pick out of Oklahoma. But I think he was a 15,
Debo
18.
Samuel.
Debo Samuel was late first, right? He wasn't like the fifth pick of the draft. So my point is.
Yeah, CeeDee was 17.
I like what you're saying about moving up, but I don't think you got to move up that far. Maybe only move up in the teens. I haven't studied the big board year to see who they are. But
I just saw the Vikings take him on a new CBS mock because of Thielen, which is, to your point, Todd, the only counterpoint of the wide receiver becoming the running back is – you might be right that nobody wants to pay him, but look at how many quarterbacks we've thought are terrible. And then, lo and behold, we drop a wide receiver in here that's a number one like Stephon Diggs or A.J. Brown.
Oh, you can make it better, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for
sure.
So that is valuable, but I do agree that maybe the paying of them, because both of those teams traded away that guy.
Sure.
I mean, the Titans missed. I don't want to say miss on Burks. But the Vikings
it's too early to say on Burks because I think Burks it could be very talented.
But the Vikings immediately replaced Diggs
2017
with Justin Jefferson,
draft.
A better receiver.
Corey Davis, Mike Williams.
Who Corey Davis now is potential links to Kansas City.
Mike Williams is a good wide receiver. But if you were the Chargers, like right now, if I just said to you, would you rather have Patrick Mahomes or Mike Williams? What would you say?
Yeah.
All right, they didn't have to trade anyone. They could have had Patrick Mahomes with that pick, but they were going to go one more year with old man Phil. And they didn't. And then John Ross was picked in front of Patrick Mahomes, wide receiver.
Mm. Hey, John Ross came back to Kansas City. Look at that.
Zay Jones was a second-round pick. He's fine. Curtis Samuel. I mean, there's just guys. Juju Smith-Schuster was a 62nd pick in the draft.
Yeah.
I mean, and they just – Cooper Kupp, there he is, third round, 69th pick in the draft.
Nice.
Chris Godwin, Super Bowl champion, third round pick. I think there are talented wide receivers out there who you don't have to – we get excited about Ja'Marr Chase.
Sure.
Right? Because they desperately needed some sort of a pick there. But you can just
well,
as easily
didn't. They
draft John Ross.
They could have gone with Sewell. The Bengals at the time, I think, made somewhat of a head-scratching – I wouldn't say head-scratching.
They wanted to score.
They wanted to score. They because they already had T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd.
Would you take Calvin Ridley in your life, you know, 7 years ago? Yeah, he was the 26th pick of the draft. I mean, I don't think – and you can find lots of guys who were failures at every position early.
Sure.
But wide receiver – everyone's got wide receivers in college.
Yeah.
Just find the right ones.
Find the one that fits your team. By the way, it seems like a lot could fit in Kansas City because when you have Mahomes, Kelsey helping you, and Andy Reid scheming you open, there's some help.
They just won the Super Bowl without a star wide receiver.
Yes. That should prove to you they don't need to go out and get
DeAndre Hopkins. Patrick Mahomes led the world in passing.
Lebo, this was fun. We'll be back live in studio tomorrow at 3 or 4 p.m. Until then, we are out.